Pause recording.
I've just been listening to a Boo by Claire Randall on the subject of taking photographs, the acceptability of taking photographs of people who haven't given their permission for doing it, and particularly the question of the acceptability of that when children are concerned. I think it's quite an interesting topic. I should say, by the way, that I haven't had a chance yet to listen to Omani Blog's Boo. I believe that, or at least listening to Claire, I understand that that Paul started this off, and I will get around to listening to it at some point, but I did want to just come back in on Claire's one. I take a lot of photographs. It's a funny one because it's a habit that I've... it's something which I've always enjoyed doing, and it's a habit I'm finding quite difficult to break. And you could say, why do you need to break it? But actually, I end up with hundreds, if not thousands, of photographs that I can't really see or tell what they are. And things are a little bit easier now with the iPhone because it reads out the date, time, and also, quite helpfully, whether it was in bright light or dark light. Does that exist? Whether it was taken in bright conditions, whether it's crisp or whether it's blurred, and that helps with sorting them and that sort of thing. But I've always enjoyed taking photographs. I think because it's a medium which speaks to more people, arguably, than pure audio, the kind that we do on Audioboo does, which maybe seems quite counterintuitive, and particularly to those of us who are visually impaired, maybe. But I think if you were to pop down to your parents or other relatives after going on holiday and play them, first of all, a 30-minute audio recording of your trip, and then show them 30 photographs, I think we all know which, assuming that they're sighted, I think we all know which they would prefer. And so I quite like portraying the world around me in a way that others like to absorb it and understand it and appreciate it. So the question of being able to take photographs wherever I want is an interesting one. Traditionally in the UK, photographers have been free to take photographs of whatever and whoever they want. But this position is now being encroached upon from different directions. Claire makes a very interesting point about the issue not necessarily being about having a photograph taken, but of what's done with that photograph, and the fact that it's so easy now to upload photographs to the internet and have them seen by potentially millions of people. There's also the point in more recent years, particularly in the last 10 to 15 years, of security considerations. So it's now more difficult to take photographs, let's say, around areas with government buildings, military installations, railway, transport infrastructure, that sort of thing. That's not to say that you can't do it. I think I would be probably wary of taking photographs of non-landmark government buildings. But in general, you can still take photographs in airports and railway stations and of significant buildings, significant government buildings, things like that, without causing too much fuss, without too much risk of being arrested for under the Terrorism Act or whatever it happens to be. But it obviously depends on the circumstances. And hopefully that's a right that will continue to be cherished and supported. But I think it's a slippery slope if we start to say that you can't take pictures of other people, or that you've got to ask permission from everybody in a photograph before you can upload it. Because that will inevitably stop a very important aspect of recording life as we experience it now so that others can understand it in the future. It would be impossible in the vast majority of circumstances, unless you're taking pictures of a particular person who's right in front of you, it's impossible to get people's permission. You know, if you take a picture of a landscape that let's say a summer scene with people out sitting around, maybe families out together on a field somewhere, on a hill, I don't know. I have in my mind Richmond Hill, but that's just because it's just around the corner. It's totally impractical to ask each of those people for their permission to have their photograph used. And I would personally go with the view that so long as the photograph couldn't be used in a way which was inappropriate, so Claire suggests that photographs could or have been used by people effectively photoshopping them, taking out, using the heads of shots of people and replacing the bodies and that sort of thing, and using them in an inappropriate way. So as long as photograph couldn't be used in that way, or the person taking it couldn't reasonably expect it to be used, or anticipate it being used in that way, and so long as
Pause recording.
Sorry, I lost my thread slightly, but unless the photograph could be used in an inappropriate way, or the person taking it could reasonably expect it to be used in that way, I really don't see a problem in having that photograph taken and uploaded to the internet. If you're out in public, you're out in public. People can see you around. If they can see, people can experience your existence there. They can tell what you're doing. They can hear. They can overhear what you're saying. They can watch your whatever activities you're doing. And I'm not sure that anybody could be there watching that. And I'm not sure that putting it on the internet invades that security any further. And I know it's, you know, often said by people trying to, particularly people defending surveillance, defending CCTV, defending photography like this. But I think it's true to a degree, and that is that if you aren't doing something which is illegal, something that you shouldn't be doing, then what really have you got to fear? And I realise that's a very sort of stark, black and white way of looking at it, and there are probably nuances within it, really. But I do feel that the sort of right to record what's around you is a pretty important one, really. And the same questions could have been asked in the past of painters or of traditional photographers before digital photography came around. Yes, we're now reaching many more people, but for each new innovation in the past, it was still reaching a wider audience than it was previously before that innovation existed. And so perhaps these are questions that we always need to look at, but I think we always also need to bear in mind the tremendous benefits that we get from such innovations and from using them in the way that we do. This did make me think, however, think back on a boo that I posted last night, which was of somebody talking on their mobile very loudly on a train, and I posted it. Some telephone conversations are better had in private, and McColgan, Mac, posted a written comment against the boo that said, that basically pointed out that that I had then published that. You know, some things are left better in private, or not published. The suggestion, maybe being, and it's a good point. I did think before publishing it. I did think about the pros and cons of doing so, and the ethics of doing so. However, my view at the time was that this person was in a public place on board a train. It was rush hour, so it was absolutely full of people. I would guess that there were probably at least 30 people within easy earshot of him. There were probably 10, 20 people within who could see and recognise him, if they needed to recognise him. You know, identify him, identify the voice with the face. And that he was having a conversation on quite a personal topic, but without any regard for who might be listening around him. And the point I was trying to make was that quite often, and I'm sure many of us do it, I know I've done it in the past, we forget that when we're in our little private world talking on the phone, we forget about the people around us. And sometimes we all maybe have conversations that we didn't ought to have in such a public place. And that was the point I was trying to make. But it has left me thinking, was it right for me to publish that? But then, equally, anybody else there could have been recording that in any kind of way. There could have been people taking photographs. He was undoubtedly on CCTV, although I doubt there was sound going with it. And so I do wonder what the rights or wrongs of it were. But I think it's Claire suggests that people aren't quite so identifiable from audio. Maybe that is the case. But I think it's a question worthy of being considered alongside the main subject here. And then just one other thing before I finish. Claire asked in passing about the continuing existence of traditional photography. And I believe it is certainly, that's not really, that's a bit of sort of contradiction, isn't it? Personally, I think you can still buy traditional film cameras. Certainly when I was considering getting one a while back and was looking around, because the main reason why I was thinking of getting one was because I thought it would slow me down on taking photographs and make me actually think about what I was taking a picture of, rather than just snapping away and ending up with thousands of pictures that I realistically wasn't going to do anything with. And as it was in the end, I borrowed my parents' Olympus SLR camera. And yes, it has slowed me down taking photographs. Interestingly, you can still relatively easily buy film and have it processed as well. So I think that does suggest that that there are still a reasonable number of people out there using traditional film photography. In fact, I have a camera film in my little day rucksack at the moment. I haven't taken a picture with the camera in quite a long time. Mainly because I think the battery needs replacing. But anyway, that's all an aside. So anyway, there are my thoughts on this most vexed subject of to snap or not to snap. I'll be back with another boo shortly.
Pause recording button.
I wonder if that's a threat.